chapter number 1. Thank you for coming tonight. Keep on praying, keep on believing. I was talking to James before the service. He mentioned about if we were going to have some flyers printed concerning the weekend of revival, which will be 3 weeks from this weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, with Brother Pasquarelli, fellow out of Ohio. He's going to be with us for those services, and we will surely get something printed up so we can pass them out in the neighborhoods and invite others to come and be a part, and I trust God will just bless the people. Keep that in mind. January the 11th, 12th, and 13th, weekend of revival with Brother Pasquarelli. Thank God. John chapter number 1. This morning I read from Matthew chapter 1. And I had the thought that Jesus came. I mentioned the threefold part. He came, he went away, he's coming back again. But then I preached about Jesus came. I'm not going tonight to try to finish it up. The other two parts that I didn't get to, but he went away, he returned to the Father. And there's a wonderful thought tonight. I know he's coming back again. Hallelujah. Went right into a young minister, and I mentioned this a few moments ago, Titus. Paul said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you know it's going to be something when he makes his appearance? Hallelujah, hallelujah. If it was in the daytime and he steps out from behind the cloud and the trumpet sounds that we're called out, of his nighttime, whenever it is, and the heavens are lit up by the presence of the Lord and the trumpet sounds, and we're called, whenever it takes place, brother, it's going to be something. Thank God, thank God. That's one thing of which I'm sure tonight, the Lord is coming back again. I'm going to read from the first chapter, beginning with the first verse. First chapter of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. Inasmuch as John was the forerunner of Christ, inasmuch as he's the one that was ordained by God to announce the coming of the Lord, had to be the one that was to announce that the Lord is coming, the Messiah is coming. It might have been appropriate, and I jotted this down, it might have been appropriate if I had preached this morning and this morning's sermon tonight, but that's not the way it's turned out. And so I want to preach tonight from the thought in the sixth verse, there was a man sent from God. There was a man sent from God. Many times in the Old Testament we're told that Jesus left heaven and came to this world having been sent by God the Father. I'll just mention a few of those concerning Jesus. In the first verse of our Sunday school lesson this morning, in Galatians 4, the Bible says, and when the fullness of time, in the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. I mentioned how they came right on time. In the fourth chapter of John, Jesus was speaking of His own ministry. He said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Another time He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is yet day. For the night cometh when no man can work. Jesus said, I was sent by the Father. I'm a man sent from God. I come because God the Father sent me. My sermon tonight is, a man sent from God. Jesus didn't come on His own. He came in the will of the Father. That's one of the verses having to do with this matter that I want to mention. We all know John 3:16. But John 3:17 says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the Son, but that the world through Him might be saved. And I say, amen. God sent His Son, as I mentioned this morning, to be saved, to save men from their sins. And I'm indeed thankful. I was talking to Tina tonight, and we were mentioning about our past, and most of us are not thrilled or happy about the way we lived before we got saved. But aren't you glad that's all been covered by the blood? And tonight we're saved by grace through faith, thank God. And the record has been blotted out by the blood of the Lamb, amen. Never, never to be remembered against us anymore. Brother, that's something wonderful to shout about. Thank God. In the ninth scripture, when speaking to John the Baptist, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And I thought this as I was preparing to be sent by God. To be an ambassador from the Almighty God is a high calling. A high calling indeed. A high honor. Think about it, if you will. There's no award. There's no position. There's no title given to man that is greater than that which was given to John, a man sent from God. In reality, and I hope that you'll grasp this, that ought to be the desire of every one of us. To be blessed by God, to be called by God, to be saved by God, to be anointed by God and sent by God to witness, to win the lost, to lift up the bloodstained banner, to share the goodness of God, tell it wherever you go. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a privilege is ours. We've been redeemed, we've been saved, and we can tell others what happened. Because we've experienced it. I made a statement a long time ago. I heard a man say it. And I jotted it down in my memory. The man that has an experience is never at the mercies of the man with an argument. I thought after Mike was healed of a brain tumor and my wife was out knocking on doors, and he was just 3 years old when he was healed, and my wife was out knocking on doors and invited people to church, and I was working on the job, and someone came along and she got to talking with them, and they didn't believe in divine healing. And they were putting it down that it's not but a day, and she said, "You've come too late. God's just healed our son. He's just healed him of a brain tumor, and there he is," and the testimony of what God has done. The man with an experience is never at the mercies of the man with an argument. Brother, if you're saved by grace, the whole world cannot make you deny it. If you're saved by grace, brother, you've got something real. Thank God. Thank God. In reality, as we serve God and love Him, and that ought to be our desire, to be a people sent by God. As you read the Bible, you learn that in spite of all that goes on, the sin and the evil and the wickedness that's in the world, it's not all doom and gloom. And so I want to bring a bright light upon our generation tonight. In this dark hour around the world, there's a light still shining. God has not abdicated the throne. God is still in control. Do you believe it? God is still in charge. Amen. Sometimes we say what the devil has done and how the devil is fighting, and he does fight, but thank God, God is still greater. Greater is He that's within you than he that's within the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? We're on the winning side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has not abdicated His position as the ruler of the universe. Whatever the need might be, whatever the circumstance, whatever comes our way, listen to what I say now. God has someone prepared for the occasion, someone like John the Baptist, someone to be sent by God. It's always been that way. And I believe it's going to be that way until He comes, when the time was right to bring a nation into existence. We're studying the book of Genesis on Wednesday night. When it came time for God to bring a people into existence, a nation to be formed, He called Abraham. Abraham was a man sent by God. He became the leader of the Hebrew nation, the children of God, the chosen people of God, because he was a man sent by God. I went further in years followed, and the time came when Joseph and Moses and Joshua came on the scene, and these three men were sent by the Almighty God. Let me mention those three. Joseph was sold into bondage into Egypt by his brothers. There was jealousy in the family. Joseph had not used wisdom. God had given him a vision, but Joseph being a young man, he shared it, and they realized that Joseph was speaking of himself. God had revealed it to him, but they were angry with him, and they sold him into bondage. And the Bible says that he gets to Egypt and is placed in, in, uh, in slavery, and he ends up in jail for something he did not do, and I never see any bitterness in Joseph. I never see any being angry with God. Everything was going wrong, and yet he still served God, and God blessed him. And there came a time when the Pharaoh had a dream, and they called Joseph, and he gave the interpretation, and you know the story, how that there was going to be 7 years of abundance and 7 years of famine, and so Joseph was made the great leader in the land of the agricultural department and gathering in the harvest and all the rest and store them up. And there came a time when the famine came along. And Jacob sent his sons to Egypt, thinking that Joseph was dead, to buy some food, and they came back. And the next year came, and Jacob said, "I'm going to send your boys back again." And they said, "We can't go this time. We can't go another time unless we send our younger brother with us." And I'm not going into all the details, but this time when they went, and they realized that it was Joseph, and he made himself known to them, and they were fearful in their hearts. And Joseph, in essence, says, "I want you to know something. I know that you didn't mean it for good. I know that you did it with the wrong attitude, but I want you to know it wasn't you. It was God that sent me." Isn't that amazing? How many people would have lost out and thrown up their hands in despair because of what has happened? And he said, "God sent me before you to keep the family of Jacob alive and to prepare for them, and that their posterity might be kept in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. God sent me." Mark it down. He was a man sent by God. One day, Moses was out there in the wilderness, and he saw a bush on fire, and I'm not going to take much time. And he gets a little closer to see this phenomena. The bush is burning, but it's not being consumed. And as he gets a little nearer, he hears someone speak out of the bush saying, "Moses, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground." And as he was standing there listening to the voice of the Almighty, God called him. God spoke to his heart, said, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." God called Moses to be the deliverer of the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. Listen, he was a man sent by God. After Moses died, God called Joshua. And he said to him, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." God sent him to conquer the land across the Jordan River into Jericho, to conquer the land of the Canaanites and to have it for a possession, an inheritance for the children of God forever. Listen to what I tell you tonight. Joshua was sent by God to take the land, and God said, "If that's your land, that's the land of the children of Israel, that's the land of the seed of Abraham, forever and forever and forever, let Hamas, let Syria, let Hezbollah, let Iran and the rest of them do what they will, but the land belongs to God's children, and it's going to be there forever." Amen, amen. Joshua, a man sent by God to take the land. Hallelujah. I read on through the Old Testament, men like Gideon and Samuel and David and Isaiah, so many others. God sent them on a particular mission, and that was a special purpose, a message that he had for them. When you come to the New Testament, you find that God was still calling, still sending, still blessing, still sending folks out into the field of service. I read in the 13th chapter of Acts. Sometimes maybe we skip over some things, but I want you to see this. They're in a service. While they're praying, seeking God, the Holy Ghost began to speak. God came on the scene in the service, in the church service of Antioch. And the Holy Ghost spoke and said, "Separate unto me Saul and Barnabas. I have a job for them. I have a work for them. Separate unto me these two men." And God sent them out to be missionaries and to be church builders, pioneer church establishers. They went into Asia Minor. They went to city after city. They won the lost. They built some churches. After a while, they returned back home, back into the Promised Land, back into their home, back to Caesarea, back to Antioch, even back to Jerusalem. There came a time when Paul was ready to go again, and this time, because of some disagreement with Barnabas, and I'm not going into that, Paul takes Silas with him on the second missionary journey. They go back through Asia Minor. They go back to some of the same places they'd been, and then they go further. And finally, they get to the very edge of Asia Minor. Paul's in a vision or a dream, a man from over in Macedonia says, "Paul, come over into Macedonia and help us." Listen to this. And God sent Paul and Silas into Macedonia. Now, when you read the Bible, maybe you don't catch this, unless you have study, but when they went over into Macedonia, they established the church in Philippi. They went on to Berea. A church is established. They go on to Thessalonica and a church is established. They go on to Corinth and a church is established. Did you know that they're the first missionaries in Europe? They're over in Greece. They're in Europe. Out of Asia Minor, over to Europe. God sent them. I am not going to try to tie everything together tonight that maybe I believe in the back of my mind. But the gospel came to Europe. And America is founded by people, in one sense of the word, that was desiring to break away from the religions of England and Europe that were state religions and high religions and no experience with God. And a lot of people came to this country because they were seeking for religious freedom. I'm thankful tonight that Paul and Silas went into Europe. Sent by God. And then I read on, and this is the part that I want to preach for the next few moments. I came to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. There's a man that is a Roman soldier. His name is Cornelius. He's in charge of 100 Roman soldiers. And I want you to see something about him. The Bible says he was a devout man. The Bible said he prayed daily. The Bible says he was a faithful man. And yet something was missing in his life. He had watched the Christians of his day. People testifying that they've been saved, their sins have been forgiven. He'd watched their lives and the joy that they had and the peace of God that was theirs and the faithfulness that they had in their lives and all that went with it. And something was in the heart of Cornelius. I want what they have. Did you know something? It pays to not only be saved, but it pays to live it. Every day. Cornelius has seen something and he doesn't know exactly how to go about it. He doesn't know what to do. He's praying. Hungry for more of God. Hungry for God to give him direction. And God told him, send some of your men down to Joppa. There's a man in a certain place by the name of Simon Peter. Send your messenger down there and tell and get Peter and bring Peter with you to the house of Cornelius. And when he comes, he'll tell you what you need to know. Amen. They were coming before they arrived. You know the story how that Peter, waiting for lunchtime, and they were preparing the meal, and he went up on the top of the house, the flat-roofed house, and he was having a prayer time, and he was in a trance. The Spirit of God was upon him, and God showed him that a sheep coming down out of heaven with all kind of animals, and God said to Peter, kill and eat, and Peter said, no, God. I'm a Jew, and we don't eat that kind of food. And God did it a second time, a third time. Kill and eat, Peter. And finally, Peter realized God's trying to get a message out. Listen, sometimes we get all tied up with tradition. We need to obey God, whatever it is. And finally, the men came. We're searching for Peter. And Peter, we've come, if you will, our master Cornelius, the centurion has sent for us to send us to bring you to Him so that you'll have the words. And God said to Peter, go with them, Peter. Go with them. God sent Peter to Cornelius' house. A man hungry for something from God. And the Bible says in the 10th chapter of Acts, while Peter was ministering, Peter, when he arrived, and they were ready to worship Peter, and Peter said, wait a minute, I'm just a man. And they were joined together, and Cornelius said, we're all here. I've got my family, my household, my friends, we're all here. I preached about that one time. I preached in Greenwood Pentecostal Holiness Church, that sermon, I titled that, we're all here. Let me leave this with you tonight. We're in Christmas season. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the trumpet sounded tonight and the roll was called in heaven? And when the roll was called, everybody here would be there to answer, I'm here. Maybe as the pastor, and I'm no better than anyone here, maybe as the pastor. Maybe the recording angel will call out, abundant life tabernacle. And I would say, we are all here. Would that be something? Amen. Cornelius said, we're all here, and Peter began to minister. Now I want you to remember this. While Peter was ministering, teaching, sharing the good things of God, the Bible says suddenly the Holy Ghost came upon them. 10th chapter of Acts. Holy Ghost came upon them, and the Bible says they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. As they did on the day of Pentecost, the same belief, the same experience that Peter, James, and John and the others had received on the day of Pentecost some years earlier, the household of Cornelius, they were hungry for God. And when Peter was preaching or teaching them, they were drinking it in, and they were receiving it, and they were believing it. And when Peter began to preach about the Holy Ghost came upon them and filled their lives, and they began to speak with other tongues and magnify God. And those that went with Peter, the Jews, they stood at them and said, these have received the same as we have. Brother, God's good. A revival broke out in the home of a Gentile. Why? Because a man was sent by God and he obeyed. We have a revival schedule. I realize it's only 3 days or 4 services. We're praying. I said something at the beginning of the service, the sermon, that God has always had someone for the occasion. We're praying for God to send us a pastor to take the church and to take it on till the Lord comes. And I realize this is the time. I'm praying earnestly with you. God, thy will be done. I say this as earnestly I know how. God's got the right person. I do not yet know who that person is, but God knows all the time. And my prayer is, and I believe it will be yours as well, when that right person comes, whoever it might be, we will know he was sent by God. He was God's man, or God's person for the occasion. A man sent by God. I'm closing and we're going to pray. I thank you, Lord, for every blessing. Hallelujah. I thank you for this church. A church that has been mission-minded. And when I was thinking about this, our first church in Sierra Vista, Arizona, we began it in July the 19th, 1959, the first service. Not long after that, we were introduced to two missionaries, two women, singer women. They had gone to Bible school and they had gone to nursery school and they were professional nurses, but they felt the call to God and they were sent by God to Mexico. We lived just across, our church was just across the Mexican border over on the Arizona side. And yet we were some maybe 30 miles from Nogales because you couldn't get across the border right where we were because of the mountains and what have you. But here was Violet Webb and Maxine Jones. And we went down to visit. We heard about them, and we went down to visit them and had a meal with them and realized these are two ladies that are single ladies that have given their lives to the cause of Christ, have been to Bible school, have prepared themselves, and here they are in Mexico, and they're ready to start a school. Two women in Mexico wanting to start a school. And as we talked with them and felt the urgency or the need to help them, our church, Sierra Vista Pentecostal Holiness Church, began to support Maxine Jones and Violet Webb, the first missionaries to support on a regular basis in our ministry. And isn't it amazing? After all of these years, do you know we're still supporting Maxine? Her name is now Lopez, Maxine Lopez. We've helped them build three churches in Mexico. We've helped them to build two parsonages in Mexico. They're getting up in years. Their health is not good. They realize time is running out for their ministry. But I want to say to this church, thank you, church, for being who you have been. God bless you good. God sent them, and we have been a blessing. We have been blessed to be able to help them. Amen. My wife has come to the piano. We're going to sing. It's Christmas. This is our last service. We'll meet together in the homes on Christmas morning. You'll meet with your family. I'll be meeting with ours. We'll invite the presence of the Lord there. He'll be there. Because He lives right there. He'll be there. Hallelujah. As we're gathered together, giving thanks to God for His blessings and goodness, remember, He's still sending people. He'll send you. He'll send me. Maybe across the street. Maybe to a next door neighbor, just to share the goodness of God. We are looking for revival if the Lord tarries. 3 weeks from now. 3 weeks from now, praying God, move in our midst in a real way. You've blessed us abundantly over the years. You've been so good to us. And we give you praise and glory. But now, God, here am I. Do you remember the scripture? Play something softly, honey. Could I go back to the 6th chapter of Isaiah? After Isaiah had the vision of the Almighty God, high and lifted up. And the angelic host cried, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Isaiah realized, I'm an unclean man. And angelic seraphim came and took the tongue from off the altar and a live coal and touched his lips and purged him. He heard a voice saying, who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Could you say that tonight? Here am I, send me. Thank God for a man or a woman or a young person sent by God. Will you stand together with me?